Amen. Please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Now, while you are turning there, I did want to make an announcement, something of a personal announcement, but also involving the congregation. And that is that this Tuesday is, I think, a significant day in my own ministry and in the history of the church. I was called 30 years ago on Tuesday, December the 1st, 1990, to serve this congregation. So the Lord has been faithful, and I am grateful for the support that I've received through the years. I'm grateful for your forbearance, putting up with me. Very often, and for praying for the ministry, and it's good to know that the Lord sustains the gospel ministry here. We're very thankful for His blessings, for strength to stand fast, and we trust that we will continue to have that. Unfortunately, I was hoping to have something of a celebration or open house, but we're not able to do that. At this time, at least for the next 3 weeks, so we'll just celebrate quietly at home. Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 11 to 36. Exodus 16, beginning at verse 11, and here is the manna that was sent to feed Israel in the wilderness, just for some context and background. Exodus 16, we'll pick up at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. Manna means what is it? And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. The children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. They gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. He said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. They laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. The house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white. The taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. The children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the 10th part of an ephah. In our text, a few pages over, in Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray that as we open the word of truth in this hour, that thou wouldst open our hearts to receive and to understand and to believe. We pray that we may be given a good understanding, so that we may render unto thee gospel obedience unto thy word. We desire, O Lord, to do thy will. We pray that we may know and understand thy will. We pray, Lord, that we may know thy word to be truth. And we pray that thou wouldst grant the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to make this unto us a living word. We pray for thy blessing thus on the preaching of thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, as we come to the fourth commandment, looking through the 10 commandments, we see that this is God's command to worship him. We find, and particularly in this year, that this is becoming a challenge to many people in various provinces and the states of the United States. And we're glad that it's not more widespread, but because a lot of these restrictions are being administered by premiers and governors, a lot of it is somewhat localized. But the question that we are being faced with, that Christians in particularly are being faced with, is this: is Sunday worship an essential service? Is Sunday worship an essential service? And we see it being framed that way, and it is a good way to frame it. Is it the most important thing in your life? Is it more important than all the other things that you do? Is it obedience to the fourth commandment? Does the fourth commandment still stand? We're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. Well, in the new year, we'll pick up this again. We'll have a month to think about some of these things and to study them. But the fourth commandment, we believe, is applicable. Our confession, our catechisms talk about this being the Christian Sabbath. It is the Christian Sabbath. That is our view of the teaching of the Word of God. And so we do call this the Sabbath day. We'll answer some of those questions in the coming weeks. So do you believe then that when it comes to worshiping the Lord on Sunday, on the first day of the week, that it is a command of God. Can you take it or leave it? Or is it a matter of pleasing the true and the living God? Is it just a spiritual exercise, or does it require your physical presence? Now, let me just interject there that I am grateful in these days that there are some who are only able to join us by streaming. And I'm glad that we have been enabled so far to be able to stream all of our services. I try to send out the hymns and the words to the hymns so that people can follow along at home and participate in some measure. It's not the same as worship, is it? It's not the same. And a number of people have said that. It's not the same, and it isn't. And I'm glad when we have been away, we have been able to watch the worship services. And I have found it to be a greater blessing than I thought it would be. It does feel as if we're present with you. We're aware of what is going on. We're aware of what is being taught. We're aware of the worship that's happening. We're not worshiping in really the fullest sense of the fourth commandment, but there's a participation. We're glad for that. And increasingly, we're having people who are elderly, people who are maybe immune compromised, they ought not to be at worship when their health is at risk. This is an opportunity for them then also to participate in a measure. But we hold fast that this is worship. Worship is physical. Worship requires presence. And it's not just the hearing of a sermon. It is the worship experience. It is singing together to the Lord. One of John Wesley's requirements maybe for worship, or one of his directives for worship, says that we're to sing lustily unto the Lord. So we're to sing with all your heart, with great joy. It's worship. It's worship. We're coming and we're meeting with the true and the living God. And it ought to be a great delight. It ought not to be controversial, but it is. It has been through the ages. And just because it's been controversial doesn't mean that we don't believe that the scriptures teach something clearly about it. We do believe that they do. So our premier earlier this week referred to worship settings as being important for emotional, mental, and spiritual health. And I'm glad that he has really sought to ensure that we're able to worship. Not all provinces in Canada have that luxury. And there are Christians who are in a quandary about how to respond to that. We may, and there have been times in the history of the church where the church is shut down for a definite period of time to reopen again. Never been an indefinite period of time. That may happen. And there was a time like that earlier on in the beginning of this year where many churches were shut down because of the numbers. We never have had to have a Sabbath day in 2020 where we have not met. We have had some service here. Very, very grateful to the Lord for giving us that liberty. And beloved, don't take it for granted. There are Christians who are grieving because they can't meet today in our own nation. So we do declare that we must remain open in obedience to the fourth commandment. God requires us to meet for worship. So we do not meet in defiance of the government if they were to shut us down. We don't meet in defiance of the government. We meet in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't fear what man can do to us. We fear that God is going to punish us if we don't meet. You understand the seriousness of that? This is one of the commandments. It's part of the moral law that God's, it is sin to not meet on the Sabbath day. It is part of God's moral law. And that's very, very important to understand. And people respond to that very often with accusations of legalism. And if you meet here week after week, merely out of habit, it ought to be a habit, because it's a good habit. But if you do it merely out of habit, it's just legalism. But if your heart isn't desirous of worship, there's a problem with your heart. Again, if health keeps you away, circumstances keep you away, if you're involved in labors of mercy it's expedient, there are allowances for that in the gospel, then there are times when you're providentially hindered from attending worship, and that may happen. But those who are unable to come, it ought to be in their heart that they want to be there. And it's very refreshing for a pastor or the elders to hear that. When they call you and say, you know, we missed you at church today, and they sincerely mean that. They're not just trying to make you feel guilty. We miss you when you're not here. We miss you. There's something in the body of Christ that's not present. It's missing. It's absent. It's not right. And so we do. We sincerely mean that when we say we missed you at worship today. And there ought to be, when the Lord's people come back and say, I missed it too. It's a comfort. It's a joy to know you wanted to be here, but you're providentially hindered. So those are two different things. That the desire, because all of Christianity begins with the heart, doesn't it? Your heart ought to desire to be with the Lord's people at worship as often as you can. So when we look at this commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're just going to look at that first verse in this commandment. We want to look first at the word remember. Remember. What does that mean? All the other commandments start, thou shalt not. There's a very firm command. Here, the imperative, the command is remember. Remember the Sabbath day. So the first thing you think, why does God say it that way? Not thou shalt worship me on the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. First of all, it's like the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me. We're prone to forget. We're prone to forget the Sabbath, the meaning of the Sabbath, the significance of the Sabbath. We need to remember. So what do we remember? What were the children of Israel to remember? Well, I believe that they were to remember what is recorded in the Word of God in Genesis chapter 2, at the very beginning of our Bibles. Genesis chapter 2, at the very beginning of creation. And there we read these words. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You find that a curious expression? That God rested. So there are some things that I think we all are going to know automatically when we think about that. What does it not mean? I think quite obviously it does not mean God was just exhausted. And he said, finally, the first 6 days, I'm exhausted. I'm glad it's over. I'm going to take a rest. It can't mean that. He spoke all things into being by the word of his power. We learned about that word this morning in Sunday school. The beginning was the word, the expression of God. And here, God, by his word, spoke everything into being out of nothing. There was nothing there, and God spoke it into being one day at a time for 6 days, according to his purposes. And we have that reiterated, incidentally, in this commandment in Exodus 20. We'll come to that again in the days to come. So what does it mean then that God rested? He didn't rest from upholding all creation, which he's doing and has always done. He always upholds creation, sustains all of his creation. It doesn't mean that. What it does mean, I believe, is that he was able, every day, he looked at what he had made and he said, it is good. And on the seventh day, as a model for us, he said, I'm simply admiring what I've done. He can't but admire perfection. Everything he made was good. Everything he did was perfect. Everything was beautiful. Everything was orderly, just the way he purposed that it should be. And he just admired it. And that is part of your enjoyment of the Sabbath day, admiring the works of God. So the word for rest is in Genesis 2 and in Exodus 16, Exodus 20. The word for Sabbath is rest. Not seventh. It's not seven. That comes in the commandment, the Shabbat, the Hebrew word. We have that directly from Hebrew. Shabbat means rest. And it means that you are to rest as well. It doesn't mean doing nothing. It doesn't mean being lazy, spending all the day doing nothing. It does mean that you can step back from all the labors of the week, all the cares, all the anxieties, all the decisions that need to be made related to your work. You can step back and spend the day admiring the work of God, the works of God. So our catechism says that the works of God are found in the providence of God is found in the works of creation and providence. So we look at his providence, we look at his creation, we look at the work of salvation accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to the Lord in all things. We see his creation. We enjoy his creation. We enjoy the things that he has done providentially in your life. It's a day of thanksgiving. We sang, we plow the fields and scatter to thanksgiving him. We just give praise to the Lord. And often, doesn't Satan want you to think about all the things that God hasn't done, that he didn't give you, that he thought you should, that you thought he should have? It's a day where you just spend looking back and saying how good the Lord has been to you. How good his providences have been. How kind he's been. How he's kept you. He's kept you in these days from disease. He's kept you in good health, I think, most, if not all of us. He's kept us also in the place of dependence upon him, which is very important. So we have this, first of all, remember the Sabbath day. Remember that God created the Sabbath, ordained the Sabbath during creation. The significant thing here is that Sabbath rest was not given in response to sin. This happened before sin entered into the world. So we sometimes refer to it as a creation ordinance. There was no sin. It wasn't God's response to man's rebellious heart. It was for man's good. And isn't that what Jesus said? Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made as a gift from God to you. You need to view the Sabbath as exactly that. So then we also read in Exodus chapter 16 that there was a Sabbath observance as they were gathering the manna. Isn't it interesting that in this case, the common people understood, many of them, that we gather twice as much on the day before the Sabbath in order to be provided for the Sabbath. It was the rulers of the congregation that came to Moses and said, these people are doing something wrong. Why are they gathering twice as much the day before? And the Lord says through Moses, they understand the Sabbath. Really, that's the shorthand for that. They understand the Sabbath. And so they're doing that really in obedience to me, as he had already actually commanded them. So he explained it a second time. And so the Sabbath is referred to here as something that's understood. It's understood by many of the Israelites. It's understood and expected by God that his people would respond and would understand. So it was the only day on which extra manna was preserved for them. So the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day. He says to the Israelites, remember the Sabbath day. Remember what happened with the manna. Remember what happened at creation. And he says that to you. He says that you need to remember the Sabbath day. Remember that God, especially for us in this age, that we think about God resting on the seventh day and setting aside a day for you particularly to cease from your business, cease from your strivings, and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. So then remember the Sabbath day, the second thing we want to consider, the Sabbath day. And again, it means rest from labor. You've been working, and this is a time in which you stop your work and rest from the labors, the way in which you ordinarily make your money. So it means simply to stop working. It doesn't mean to do nothing. And often people who don't like the fourth commandment say, well, you want us to just sit around and do nothing? Absolutely not. Nothing wrong with taking a nap on Sunday afternoon. I think that's an enjoyable thing. But the day isn't to be spent in laziness. It's a day that God has given you to worship him, to think on his works. It's a day in which you can read gospel literature that you have been too busy to read all week because your employer has made demands on you. You can say, well, this day belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to my boss. It doesn't belong to my employer. It belongs to the Lord. It's true that every day belongs to the Lord, but this one, he says, has my name on it. It's a day in which you can forget about all those things and focus on me. Think about me. Meditate upon me. Consider the gospel. Do you understand it? Do you realize the effect of it? Do you realize what it means to you? So it's intended to reflect upon the work of creation and the work of redemption. Consider how beautiful God's creation is, and to think about how beautiful God's plan of redemption is. And we say that the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging upon the cursed cross, bearing the wrath of God. Can you say that that's beautiful? Without being sadistic or mean-spirited? Can you see that there's a beauty in what Christ has done for his church? It's a beauty that's worth thinking about and meditating on, because it's the means of your salvation. It's the only means by which you can be made right with God. There's a beauty in that. There's a beauty in Christ's obedience to the Father. There's a great wickedness in the hands that were raised to crucify him. And there's a great wickedness in my own sin that nailed Christ to the cross. My sin, beloved, your sin nailed the the Lord Jesus to the cross. You are responsible for his death. Think about that. Think about how wicked your heart is that you would crucify an innocent man. But that's why Jesus came, to save sinners. There's a lot to think about in the gospel. There's a lot to think about in the riches of God's word. You know, there are times in the ministry when, over these past decades, when you just feel empty. You just feel like, I've preached everything, and everything that I'm saying is kind of what I've said before. Is there anything fresh? Is there anything new? And largely that comes from not having spent time in the Word. As intensely in my heart as I ought to have been. But then when you are blessed of the Lord and you're filled with the joy of his riches, you can sometimes get two or three sermons out of one verse. Like it is so full. It is so rich. It is so deep. There's so much beauty there that you just could talk about it all day long. It just fills your heart. My cup runneth over. And it's a glorious thing to know the riches of God's word, to sit there in one verse and just think about what that means with all the context in the chapter and what great blessings and riches there are in God's word. So it is a day of physical rest, the Sabbath day, but it's a day also of spiritual rest and reflection. So the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day. He says, remember the Sabbath day in order to keep it holy. What does the word holy mean? It means really to be separate. The word by itself just means separation. When God uses it, it means separation from the world, separation even from yourself, from your old nature, separation from the flesh, the world, the flesh, the devil, just coming to a place like this. Some people, we sometimes refer to this room in this building as a sanctuary. And some people take offense at that because it's not a sanctuary as such, but it is a sanctuary during our worship services, isn't it? There's peace. There's sanctuary. There's protection. We trust and expect that the Lord hedges us about. It is sanctuary. It is refuge. It is a peaceful and joyful place to be that you ought to anticipate. I can hardly wait for the next Lord's Day when I just enjoy that peaceful time of joining together with the Lord's people. So we're separate from our work, separate from the world. We, in a way, we shut it out. And we let the rest of the world go by. Sometimes it's a bit of a distraction. I'm glad we have these stained glass windows, but sometimes it's a bit of a distraction for me when I look out of that little round window there and I see somebody cutting their grass. It's a Sabbath day. I've just shut all that out. Don't do that, but the world goes on. People drive by with their trucks full of things to deliver whatever they're doing in their homes. You come here, you just shut all of that out. And you come and spend time with the Lord. Now that spending time with the Lord is not some spiritual, just drawing away in a mystical sense. It actually prepares you to meet all of the events of the coming week. Right? We don't just withdraw and then steel ourselves in order to be able to handle whatever the week has for us. The Lord equips you on the Sabbath day to meet the temptations of the week, to meet whatever is going to come at you. So we do have this view. Let me just come back to this for a moment. This view that says, aren't all days holy? Isn't every day God's day? Absolutely. No, nobody expects you to come in here and live one way on Sunday and then go out and lie and cheat and commit adultery the rest of the week. That's not the Christian life, is it? No, every day, a Christian lives or is expected to live as a Christian 7 days of the week. But this is a day set apart. It is a day that is holy for the Lord's people. It may be just another day for the rest of the world, an extra day for the last 40 years or so in Alberta, 35 years in Alberta and Canada. We've just had another, it's just another day, an extra day to work on your basement, an extra day to indulge in your hobby. But the Lord's people have maintained all along, this is a day of worship. This is the day when the Lord meets me at his house for worship. So to have this idea that every day is alike, I can worship God every day of the week. During the week, you have a moral obligation to obey your boss. You have a moral obligation to serve him. And the Lord addresses that in the scriptures. In Ephesians 5, he says that you ought to obey your masters. Servants, obey your masters. That's expected. And so you give your attention, your mind, your heart in a certain way to your boss, knowing that you're ultimately serving the Lord. But we're called to give attention to our jobs. So to say that every day is alike is very pietistic. In a bad sense, piety is good, but pietism isn't always a good thing. So we must not live piously one day of the week and then wickedly or sinfully the rest of the week. So here is the one day that the Lord gives you, and a kind of a tithe of your time. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks as well, how it's a tithe of your time. It gives you a chance to study God's word in a way that you can't the rest of the week. So, beloved, as we close then, two things to consider. When it comes to the Sabbath day, do not be legalistic. So if you're not healthy, it's better to stay at home. That's just a love for the brethren, right? You don't, and people have said that too. I'm not going to be there because I'm not feeling well. It's not their habit. So I know it's not just an excuse. It's not just something they're saying, well, I don't feel like going to church today. I really think for the betterment of my brothers and sisters, it's better for me to stay home. And that's wise. There are times when that's wise. So that is just common sense. And the question, when we're ever faced with that decision, the question is, where is my heart? Is it with the Lord's people? Is there a desire to meet with them? Am I going to really miss that day? That reflects whether there's a spirit of legalism. The other thing is that when you are found in that place, it's very easy then for it to become a habit. Well, I missed one Sunday, I can miss another one. And you have this assessment of your spiritual life that you're more spiritually healthy than you actually are. Because God says you're to meet together for the good of your soul. So don't be legalistic. Be wise. But don't do it just out of mere habit. Do it out of a heartfelt desire. And then the other thing is don't be antinomian. Don't be legalistic, but don't be antinomian, which means that the law doesn't matter, that you just disregard the law. If you do stay home for frivolous reasons, your soul is going to suffer. God has given you this day. So be careful that you don't stay home for frivolous reasons. And don't be indifferent about the Sabbath. It's a day that God has given you. It's a day that he's placed his name upon it. And you ought to reverence that and hold it in high esteem as a very special day that the Lord has given you. And honor him in that day. We will come back to this, Lord willing, in the beginning of the new year. But think on these things. Meditate upon them. What does the Sabbath mean to you? And is it a day in which you can truly turn from the things of the world, leave them behind, and dwell fully upon the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let us pray. O Lord our God, thou dost know our hearts. how easily we forget. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst fill us with the blessings of this day, morning and evening. We pray that we may be filled with the joy of knowing Christ, filled with the joy of the gospel, filled with the joy of Christ. We pray that we also may be filled with the true knowledge of thy word, that we may indeed render a heartfelt gospel obedience unto thy commands. Lord, we love thee, and we thank thee for this day in which thou hast given us time to spend with thee in prayer and meditation. We commit this day unto thee, and we ask thy blessing upon the preaching of thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen.